Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 151st episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition. Guts the Week. I'm going to go around and have my players introduce themselves.
I'm Tyler, and I play Kyle, also known as Guards the Low. He's a Philodox of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a Thurge of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, Speaks in Sweet Whispers. He is a Thurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howls in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnawers.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a rune of the Glasswalkers.
After going to the Sept of the Green, the Pax had coordinated to get Howling King to speak to Jonas Albrecht, while Shadow Dagger would speak to the Margrave in an attempt to play the two sides against each other to deal with Alvin Stormchaser, the Shadow Lord with a mysterious past. Now the Pax must work towards getting other Garu on their side as the Concordant quickly approaches. The Pax have decided now to go find Tatiana Guts the Weak, an elder of the Get of Fenris. So it has been decided that you guys are going to go see Tatiana Guts the Weak. Hearing from Agatha, she is at the Sept of the Sentinel in northeastern New York. There is no moon bridge between the Sept of the Sentinel and the Sept of the Green, and so you'll have to hoof it. Luckily, there's plenty of wilderness trails and paths that you can take in lupus form to get there a bit quicker, though you'd still stealth around, which will slow you down a bit. And it takes you about 4 days to get there as you arrive on January the 4th. As you see the mountain looming and you give a howl, and the get howl back that you must test yourselves to see if you are worthy to enter the Cairn. And so you will all need to make climb rolls, which will be strength athletics, difficulty 8. Any failures deals a point of bashing damage.
Is it like climbing the side of a mountain, or is lupus reasonable?
Lupus is reasonable. You can do it. It's going to be still holding yourself up, jumping around. So a wolf can climb it. It's not a sheer cliff face.
Okay. I think I'll do Glabro.
Way to flex on Cora there, William.
No. Get good, scrub.
Only one more. How many do we need in total?
That's enough. You'll need 2. So Dimitri, you take a point of bashing, but also one more in Hamid form. So shows up your Glabro, getting to the top first. As you are approached by the gatekeeper, known as Daggerfang, the lupus looks you up and looks at Cora, going, you are of the blood and of the Fenrir. You are of the tribe and the patron. You may enter. The rest of you, you may enter only if you succeed 2 of 3 trials to show your strength and your worth for the Cairn.
Good luck, boys.
What trials would you have us complete?
The first is simple, if you wish to come this way. As you walk and you approach the edges just outside of the bond, there's a campfire that's been blazing. As you see metal rods within it, and they pull it out, and it is red hot, almost white hot, as they say, take your human skin and place your hand upon it and hold. Show strength of conviction that you are willing to let your flesh sizzle and burn for the chance to show strength and fortitude, for the apocalypse will burn even brighter.
With no hesitation, William's just going to go ahead and grab a hold of it.
All right, roll me willpower, difficulty 8, please.
Okay.
You hang on, you're sweating, you take 1 point of aggravated damage as it burns into your hand. Your flesh kind of sizzles, and a little bit of the fat on your hand lubricates and kind of melts down the edges of the metal rod before you let go, as your skin crackles and breaks, and it is placed back into the fire to wait for the next.
Mark will approach in his Hamid form.
You are stoic in every way. As you let go, and you are allowed to go to the end, you will get a chance to test yourself with the next trial.
Dimitri will shift into his Hamid form and go next.
Or for you, you have to do it in Lupus form.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't want you soaking it.
Oh, that's a good point.
So all you right. have to take your little paw pads and as you hold it, you shake, you pant for a little bit, you almost howl out in pain, but you stop yourself and they pull it back as your paw is raw and in pain.
And Kyle will go as well.
Kyle, you grab, you hold, it sizzles and burns. A little bit of smoke kind of raises between your knuckles and your fingers as you let go. Dagger Fang nods and acknowledges your strength. You have passed fire. Now we will see how you deal with water. This way, as they move down and you have to partially climb down the mountain, as you start moving and shuffling, your paws and hands in pain with that one ag localized entirely in your hand. As you finally get down and they take you to a stream, it is hidden and amongst the trees as one of the other get takes Krynos and says,
"Come, your baptism awaits."
You feel the large get paws with the claws just partially crinkling your skin through your clothes as the get looks at you and plunges you into the river, their hand pressing you as your back strikes the stones as the ice-cold water rushes over you. Can I get a stamina roll, diff 7, please?
Not often I'm rolling that in Hamid.
You... oh no. Oh, as your no. lungs fill with ice-cold water, you start to convulse. But the test is to make sure that you hold strength, and so now, because you have botched this roll, your willpower roll is now equal to diff 9. You need 2 successes not to freak out and potentially enter a frenzy. You also take a point of lethal damage. Your will holds true. The ice-cold water is in your lungs, penetrating and almost feels like needles as they pull you up finally. You land upon the shore and you start coughing as water starts vomiting out of your mouth and nose as you feel the cold draining down your face. As the get goes,
"You have completed 2. Do you wish to try for the 3rd simply to test yourself?"
When Kyle is done coughing, he will... No, you know, he'll just thumbs up as he coughs.
"Good. Excellent for unicorns, get. Who is next?"
The Krynos asks.
Mark will approach.
You feel the hands upon you and splash down stamina, diff 7, and then we'll see what happens. You hold your breath well, and now the willpower roll is diff 6. You succeed and you are pulled out.
"You have succeeded 2. Will you go and attempt to conquer the 3rd?
"I will, and I'll go to Kyle and I'll...
"All right, cockroach's child. Come here."
I'll step forward.
Boom, down into the water you go. Not a botch, but now the willpower roll is diff 8. You succeed as your lungs also fill with water. They pull you up, you start coughing, but you're not nearly as bad as Kyle as you land upon, and they ask the same question to you.
I would be remiss if I didn't go all the way.
And next?
Dimitri will go ahead and approach.
Dimitri is picked up, splashed down. Hold your breath well. The difficulty is 6 for the willpower roll, and you succeed. Zeb, after the hot poker incident, roll willpower for me real quick. Diff 8, please. You do freak out and you do let go. You do take 1 ag, so you need to succeed 2 more of the trials. They bring you to the frozen river. The Krynos grabs you in your Hamid form and douses you down. I need your Hamid stamina roll. Diff 7, please. You get a lung full of water. Your willpower roll is now diff 8, but you succeed and you don't freak out as they let you up. You start coughing. They look, nod, and the get go, "Now for the next trial." It is here that they walk around you and there are several get around. They all take Glabro with two Encrinos on either side to make sure things don't get ugly, as they have whips and sticks that are willowy to cause no real damage but annoyance as they start swinging wildly. And Daggerfang goes, who is the first to enter the circle?
Mark will step forward.
Mark will step forward, okay. It is, so you will need to do a rage roll, diff six, as they start beating you with sticks. You succeed in not frenzying as you are let through.
William will step forward for the to be the second one.
As they quickly swarm you and start beating the ever-living piss out of you. That is four. I think four is what you need to frenzy.
Yeah, I think five is
six thrall, is thrall. Right? Six is thrall. So you shift into Krynos, and they launch and they grab you and they slam you down.
He has failed, but he has succeeded the two others. Drag him, let him out into the woods. Cast him down the side of the mountain and let him take his rage upon the trees and let him crawl back here when he is spent.
As they basically lift you and huck you off the side of the mountain into the forest to take your frenzy out on the local flora and fauna and maybe hikers.
Great. Kyle will go next.
All right. Same thing.
So I'm going to use Swallow Rage.
Oh my.
You would dishonor the competition?
I'm okay with letting them know that I failed, but that I would not, because this is seven successes. Like,
that's
I don't,
true.
I'm not going to allow myself to Thrall of the Worm. Too lethal for me.
And it's obvious, like, you're getting beaten, and then, like, blood squirts out of your nose, leaks down your ears, and several cuts as your body tried to shift into Krynos. Like, your arms expanded so fast, but your skin contracted that it tore along your forearms as blood starts leaking as they look at you.
I failed, but I would not allow that frenzy.
Understood. Who shall go next?
Dimitri will go next.
You fucking shitting me?
What are you guys doing?
No, he got zero successes on his frenzy roll.
Oh, wait, never mind, frenzy.
With fucking good nine job. Successes.
Sorry.
Or nine dice. Yes. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Well done, then.
You keep yourself super calm, Dimitri. Just walk through like a day in the park.
Strong of body and iron of will.
Oh, no, Zeb. With your temp rage of 10.
Yeah, all right.
We're all pretty spicy tonight.
Beaten with sticks, Zeb, and you walk through. Everyone is allowed in. Now, Daggerfang speaks, sitting in Lupus. Why have you come?
We're here to speak with Guts the Weak.
I will see if the Jarl has time for you.
Perfect.
Sit among the trees, collect yourselves. Perhaps call to your friend when the anger leaves him. They walk away. As you're sitting alone on the edge of the mountain, the Get have dispersed, trusting your strength to allow you to be here in the purity of your heart to withstand the rage for some of you. And so, sitting there, William, you wake up. You have the taste of blood in your mouth as there is just a decimated deer, and the taste of pine as there's a decimated tree.
I'll go ahead and spit on the floor or on the ground, mumble to myself, and then make the climb back up to the sept.
Start making your way back up. You hear a howl from the depths towards the top of the mountain. It is but one word in the Garu tongue. Hum.
Perfect. Gather ourselves and... At least Cora gathers herself and...
You find an almost like hidden building amongst the trees, carved with the ancient runes of the Get of Fenris. Smoke slowly rising, the place slightly warm, but still allowing a bit of the damp to come in. You enter as you see Guts the Weak sitting there. She is sitting in the nude as she is taking in the steam and the heat of this place, her hands still resting upon the Jarl hammer as you see the scars lining her body. And she looks you all over and gives kind of a dismissive sneer.
Jarl, it is good of you to make time to speak with us.
Enter. Leave the taints of your human clothes behind. This place is meant to purify. not to dampen the clothes.
Coral will just walk out, strip down, and come back in.
Mark will do the same.
Yeah, same.
I'll enter. Sans clothes.
You all start slowly entering. It is hot. It is clammy. But somehow, as your body sweats, just enough of a breeze comes in to hit your sweat and almost make it feel like it turns to ice upon your back as a way to test your endurance in this place. So, Modi, you have come to speak, I'm sure, of the wretched thing that was brought up during the tribal moot?
We have. That is one topic that I wish to discuss with you. The other being his mother. Though the way you talk about this child, I am going to assume that you are for killing him or letting him live to be tested as an adult.
I am on the fence. Yes. The times are growing dark. Odin's eye has opened. Ragnarok is here, and soon Jormungr will rise from the Umbra and strike our mother. We walk a razor's edge, and every decision must be weighed.
This decision especially weighed heavily. I understand that. I am sure everyone at this point knows our stance on this child. Though, if I were to put my feelings aside for him and for his parents, I would also feel that killing him now would be cowardly, and he should have the opportunity to get strong and fight for his life. Nice. As we all should, especially since he carries the blood of the Get.
So he does, but he also carries with him something else. I am not talking about the river serpent of older brother. I am talking about the connection to Odin's eye. Born at the same time, the legends and the tales from the protectors do align with that, yes? They did not lie to me.
He was born at the same time.
And so, prophecy runs in its veins, yes?
Yes.
She turns and looks at Mark and Zeb. Tell me, Godi, have the veins of prophecy always been kind to the Garu?
Simply, no, they haven't.
That is correct, Godi. They haven't. Why has that changed now? Sure, this Desperate One prophecy is ambiguous, but it is for the Get to decide. We will fight regardless. And if this child is to become some champion of the worm, I simply fear that it will rob us in different ways. Like Loki, the half-Jotun, whose fair appearance hid a terrible nature of destruction.
You would murder a child based on chance?
If the chance is the entire world, yes. What is it that humans say? Would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler if you knew?
Many would.
Why is murder the only option?
Because some are destined to be evil.
Jarl, do you believe that this child is destined to be evil?
I am strongly inclined to think so. A child born of the breaking of Litany, the first law of Litany, and being broken when the Eye of Odin opens, the great eye that seems to go back all the way to the worm, that the worm witnessed its birth. How else is that supposed to be read?
Then another question, Jarl. Do you believe that we can fight against fate? Because haven't we been told that we are destined to fail in Ragnarok, that the world is destined to end?
Yes.
And yet we fight.
Because it is about strength. The struggle itself is worthy, but I will not struggle all alone when I could have stopped the struggling for others and protected our kin from something most foul if this child is some sort of immoral being of the worm? No, the Geth of Fenris had always said that we will fight and defeat the worm or die trying. And the first option has been removed from the board.
As every other Geth, I look forward to dying while trying.
Then let me ask you this, Aura Two Hearts, as a Jarl. Here, with our flesh exposed, our spirits laid bare, do you plan on trying stupidly?
It is my goal to try with wisdom and honor. If I had not gained the knowledge that I have now and the opinions that I have now, I would not. Again, this is putting aside all of my feelings and love for the child and his parents. However, we went on a spirit quest, and during that we came across many in Karna. We flew through the stars. One that stood out particularly was the Incarna of Mars, Nurgle. Would you like to know his opinion?
Tell me.
His opinion was to keep the child, to raise it as Garu should, because he wanted to see the grand fight. Whether that child be of the worm or whether he would fight for us. He is an Incarna, so of course his reasons are not necessarily what we would desire, but that one stood out to me. I also would like to Coral shake her head at that thought and just look Tatiana head on and say, I feel we are going in circles and talking around the point.
You want me to vote in your favor. That's why you're here.
Jarl, I would like you to vote in our favor, yes. However, I understand your position. I would ask that you side with those Geth who would see him grow. And if he does fall, if he shows an inkling of the worm, then that is when we can kill him. I would just ask that you do not vote for him to die now.
Shakes her head. Everything you've done has convinced me to vote against you. Ask, beg, which heart are you following? The fate of the world is here and you come groveling to me? I demand respect, but I demand iron in your voice if you have any convictions at all.
Then, Jarl, my conviction is to keep this child alive. I do not believe that he will be of the worm. I believe that if he is raised as a Garu, then he will not fall so easily as many of the Garu seem to believe he will. He carries Geth blood. We do not fall so easily.
You have forgotten the two that have fallen at the gates, but at least you have conviction now. I am glad you have at least found your heart. Hopefully your real one.
My asking was out of respect.
No, yeah. Your asking was because you follow those two unicorns. You are a unicorn with fangs and nothing more. Grind your hooves for the apocalypse. Maybe you'll find your claws.
Jarl, you continue to question whether I am yet enough. Fenrir has already accepted me into the brood, or I would not be yet. Do you think that your opinion of me is more wise than his?
Fenrir has made some mistakes before. I am familiar with the ways. Are you saying that the swords of Heimdall are worthy of being Geth before we rended them?
I think that Fenrir saw something in them, and what they chose to do after that.
Then you chose to be a weakling after you proved yourself to Fenrir.
Jarl, I have decided who I am. I know who I am, whether it is weak in your eyes or not. My pack and our sister pack have traversed the stars, and we found that overwhelmingly we were told to stand up, do what we think is right, not just to make sure the worm doesn't win as much, but keep in mind the victory. Make sure we know that what we are doing is right. And I believe that what we are doing is the right thing, whether you think it is weak or not.
I didn't say your ideas were weak. I said you were weak.
Stand up. I don't agree.
Well, good. At least you've shown a few vertebrae since the end closing of our conversation.
I am Korra Two Hearts, a Get of Fenris, Modi of the Fenrir. I have my ideals, and I know they are strong. I know I am strong. I do not need the opinions of someone who would murder a child. And then Korra will just turn on her heel and march her very unhappy at the moment ass out.
As the cold wind strikes your naked flesh, as you step out, and Tatiana strides after you, her hand is placed on your shoulder, she grips, she looks you in the eye and goes, "That was what I was looking for. Conviction in yourself. I will give the child a chance."
Good. And she'll continue walking. She'll forget about her clothes.
Roll stamina, please.
Fair enough. I don't freeze to death.
No, you take a little bit of bludgeoning damage that you can't heal until you warm up or take another form because you get some frostbite on your fingers. But you do march gloriously through that sept, naked as the day is long, head held up high.
Kyle will leave, grab his clothes and Korra's and kind of jog after her.
As you jog after her, Korra continues to strut, looks at a Get, points at her boob scar of acid burn, goes, "That's right, I'm a Get of Fenris," and keeps on walking.
Mark will gather his clothes.
Kyle, you catch up with Korra.
Dimitri is also going to go.
Just for whenever you're ready to put them on, I'll put them in her hands.
I think Korra's a little too stunned at the moment. Other than to just carry everything and like pace like outside, like away from everybody.
In the wind and the snow, yes. We've thoroughly established that. The carpet matches the drapes. Icy.
Icy. Frigid. Alright. What is everybody else gonna do?
Putting his final piece of clothing on, the shirt, Mark will approach. Good job, Two Hearts, Rhea.
It went better than I expected it would.
Your two hearts must be beating so hard right now. But we got what we came for.
We did. Korra will sit down in the snow and start to put her clothes on. Calming down, finally.
Well, if I may say so, it may be time for you to be called by another name other than Two Hearts. That sounded like One Heart to me.
I appreciate that, Dimitri. I do have my convictions, and I hold to them. Just because it's not what someone expects of me because of my tribe or my auspice doesn't mean that I don't know who I am.
I know how that feels. I am a lupus born that knows how to fix cars. We're both different.
You're the weirdest of all the lupus. And she'll pat Dimitri on the back.
That's probably the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
So, day passes as you collect yourselves. You stay at the Cairn for another day. Zeb, in the night, you're having a dream where you're just walking through this crowded office building. People are moving around you like they know you're there, but they don't really see you. You find it almost hard to breathe. Your nose is kind of clogged. And so you try and breathe through your mouth and you find that difficult. Your face is unscarred and your lips feel almost swollen and your mouth can't open far enough to make the lips open all the way as you stick your fingers into your mouth to pull the lips apart just to breathe as you're breathing more and more and yet your face feels more and more swollen, getting thicker and thicker as you feel almost like shards of glass in your face, getting consumed by the constant swelling, the difficulty to breathe as you kind of collapse, as people continue to walk by you unnoticing, as you feel the pieces of glass starting to slowly dissolve in your skin and disappear forever as you're still harder and harder to breathe. It's getting hotter and hotter as your fingers are just pushing at your lips, revealing your teeth as you're just gasping and gasping for air as sweat starts dripping down your face as someone looks and you hear people talk about how you're in the way and they continue to move around you. You collapse, you fall asleep, you feel your face slowly deflating and you awaken.
I'm gonna do that rapid sit up, feel my face.
It's pretty as it's always been.
Right? Look around. Anyone out here? Other than us?
You wake up, you jolt. You just missed Dimitri with a swing of the arm and the jitters, so him and William are still fast asleep in their lupus form, along with you. You see Fomori's Bane not far off.
Is the gauntlet still pretty low here?
Yeah, it's still thicker than you'd think. It's a diff 5.
I'll just look across the Umbra.
Okay. So, oh, you have the gift for that, right?
Right.
That's right. You do take one lethal as you feel slivers of glass slicing through your eyes in the gauntlet as you look through and you see the Umbra as the webs are growing thicker. It's calm, though, as you see the spirits here moving about as the early morning sun is starting to rise as you see several. You even see a Get in the distance. Doing a greeting of Helios as a rite, but overall, unremarkable.
Throw that one away and try to lay back down for sleep.
You sleep and it is not restful. It's just that same dream on repeat until the sun is fully up and warms you all into waking.
Mark will wake up and greet Helios.
I guess Coral just wake up and start getting ready to head out.
Okay, where's the next destination?
What were we saying was gonna be next for us? Because we've spoken with Shadow Dagger, we've spoken with Howling King. We need to wait for word back on both of them about the King and the Margrave.
So you need to head back to the Green then, because I believe. That'd be sent that way.
Yeah, we need to make our way back to the Green, right?
There's no objections. Then it's another 4 days to get back to the Green. As you enter, the Green is kind of a buzz with Guru just trying to figure out living situations for the Concordant that will be here, as Glasswalkers have been trying to buy property or get giant hotels using a con as an excuse, so they'll be actually holding a tech con, but they will be renting out about 3 times the amount of hotel space as is standard to cover for the Guru that will be coming in as a way to hide their presence from the humans. What you do notice is that there is a cop on every corner. Now, the police presence seems much higher than even just a few days ago.
Is there any information I can glean from the news?
You can.
That might provide reasons why the police activity is so high?
Yep, and you do find it. It turns out that the Christmas Massacre has been making it national news, and New York's mayor has decided that to prevent riots and quote-unquote left-wing extremists from performing their own January 6th, they have decided to start refunding and reinvigorating the police so that their city can be safe. It looks like this kind of rhetoric is being pushed by both sides of the political aisle across the nation, using the Christmas Massacre as a flashpoint.
I'll pass that information along to everyone else.
A pigeon spirit arrives. It possesses one of its kin, and it lands upon your hand, Zeb. The pigeon just lands as it moves, as you see the glimmer in its eye of a spiritual possession.
I will grant it a gnosis worth of food from my other hand.
As it pecks at the ephemeral food that everyone else just sees as invisible, as you are in the physical realm, the pigeon pecks and the spirit goes, two elders, one of storm, one of silver, have landed at the sacred stone. They have come with two Adrin each to confront the Chaser.
Thank you, Ken. I will go speak with the group in private, as private as it can be.
Okay.
The Silver Fangs and the Shadow Lords have acted. They're at Sacred Stone now. They brought two Aethryl with them and are confronting Storm Chaser. I had a strange vision about this, and one of the things that I'm worried about in a dream, and I'll relay the details of the dream, are that those that might have been manipulating Storm Chaser will begin to act too.
Then shouldn't we quickly make our way back?
That would likely be for the best, and I suppose may give us the opportunity to speak with all of them about their opinions on the child anyway. I didn't expect them to move quite that quickly.
I think we got their attention.
Then let's move.
And so, you'll need to spend a talent to head to Five Mirrors, and then another talent to fly to Moonbridge to Sacred Stone. It's one per pack.
Oof. Yeah, I've only got the Ishtara's Flowers, which, if that's what we have to spend, that's what I'll spend.
No, I've got four talons. I'll spend those four talons that I got during the time jump.
Okay. As you do that, and you launch back to Sacred Stone, it's about, with the time jump of going back 2 hours, it's about noon now. Since you got that spirit and getting things ready for the Moonbridge and the calling, with that, you find out that these Garu had gone over to meet with Storm Chaser, who was inspecting the new, or helping the kin inspect the new facility that William had bought out east, now that that has gone through. So it's about a 30-minute drive from Sacred Stone to get there, if you can bum a ride or use a ride-sharing app.
Is Eleanor in the car?
You can get a hold of Eleanor. She is willing to drive you, but she's not willing to let you drive, as you don't have a license.
That's fair.
And the registration is in her name.
That's incredibly fair.
As it is a bit of a clown car, two people trying to, like, dive and prevent the cops from seeing that you're sitting on each other's laps in the back seat. Too risky to try that in the front seat. Dimitri is in Lupus form, hiding in the trunk. As you get there, as you step out, you get to the building and you see Storm Chaser is there chatting and kind of laughing with the six Garu that have come. They're in Hamid form, as you see several kin talking and are around them as well. There's about four or five kin.
I guess we should approach them.
As you see one of the Silver Fangs, I'm sorry, and you don't recognize the Adrian. You recognize the Elder through name only.
We are the Pax, Famori's Bane and the Ill Omens.
Oh.
Korra Two Hearts.
These are the ones you were talking about, Alvin, who've been doing such a good job helping the kin. Guilty, yes. Please, have a seat. I was just regaling them as one of the Shadow Lords goes, oh, yeah, Storm Chaser told me about some of his deeds, and I thought they sounded familiar. Powerful elder here at your Karen.
We've been very fortunate, especially when things were very turbulent.
They give me too much credit. They've done quite well themselves. Wow. As you can see, there's going to be a whole concordant about them. I make it no secret that I believe in them and that I will be voting to keep the child safe and them continuing to go along. As the Silver Fang goes, I've been considering the opposite, actually. I'd heard the litany violations, and despite my disagreements with the Judges of Doom, I always thought that this story of the Desperate One sounded too ambiguous to bring anything of worth, but perhaps it's best not to speak to the defendants on these matters.
Well, we are admittedly biased, but I've always felt that fate is but a guide. The Garu who fall aren't fated to fall. The Garu who stay true aren't fated to stay true. It's the decisions that we make, the actions we take, that make those things real.
Very true. These friends came in last night. They arrived quite unexpectedly. Apparently there was some sort of concern about not hearing about my name, but we thankfully cleared that up. I know things are turbulent with the nation now, especially with how everything's going.
Well, I'm glad to hear that things have been settled. What settled it?
Oh, as I said, I used some of the stories as he starts regaling stories. Kyle, Dimitri, you have never heard a single one of these stories at a moot. And as well as just talking things through as I showed things with the projects that our dear William has been doing to try and help the kinfolk, as well as Mark and all of the things he's done to help keep this place secure. I think they don't doubt my conviction to the nation or to protecting our kin. Oh, as you see the kin come in as they're handing out tea.
Thank you. Those are all impressive stories. I'm surprised you'd never told us them before.
Once I've reached my rank, it seemed more important to just get my hands dirty within the work. Though the Shadow Lords have a reputation to uphold, as he kind of laughs and gives almost a wink to the Silver Fangs as kind of a jest, I felt that getting through these things was more important than boasting about the past. We have to look to the future.
I agree we do have to look to the future, but shouldn't the lessons learned in the past inform our decisions on how to improve things for the future?
Oh, I have no disagreement. I brought that with the energy that I tried to do when helping the kin and suggesting idea. And, well, it just seemed that boasting of past deeds wasn't really giving lessons. It was just a way to boast when I'd already reached a rank where the boasting seemed unnecessary.
May I please roll Sense the Unnatural?
Sure. So you get the smell that he is Guru. You smell the smell of the Guru on him. But you also smell feathers, like of a bird of prey, and a kind of smell. What's the word? There's something you can't quite put your finger on. It's almost like a masking smell. You know, like how if someone sprayed Febreze or something like that kind of thing to just cover up the smell of something else. That is the kind of additional sensory input you're kind of getting off of.
Like when hunters use the deer spray.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, surely you're right about boasting, but the stories we tell are what inspire future generations of Garu. It's important to relay them. So what do you see when you look to the future in these dark times?
I see the chance to make sure that the Sacred Stone recaptures what it is meant to be, a sept of vision. One that older brother heralded, and they still herald now. But now it's a beacon not just for the three brothers, but a beacon for the nation as a whole. A chance for vision, a chance to see beyond and to glimpse and be inspired. I think the future holds is that if we have an impossible child, then I think impossible deeds can be achieved.
I would feel this is a bit of a paradox, no? The Shadow Lords know the horrors of the worm. They know the deepest and most terrible things that might come. And they know some of those things would be words of honey. In many cases, I feel that the Great Tribe of Storms has ensured we are a little more wary, a little more ready, a little more tested, in a different way than the Get might test us, just purely of tooth and claw, because they know how wily the worm is. Vision is one thing, but I honor what your Great Tribe has done, Elder. An unheralded role, too.
I simply do what I can. I think that it is important to make sure that those who need to be seen leading lead to inspire. It would do no good if I tried to take over, even though between us here, I think I would do a better job of running Sacred Stone than any of the elders currently on the council. It is not for me to be seen to do so, but to simply give advice and steer this place. It is more inspiring and thus better for the coming war. For older brother to be seen and even the children of Gaia aiding, is it not?
Could I roll to see what the other Garu, the strangers to me, feel about this?
Sure, that'd be perception empathy.
Standard diff?
Yes.
Fuck.
Nah, not getting a good read on him.
You know what? I still have my Lagomorph spoon on, and there's one more success, one more one I can turn into a two, and I'm going to do that now.
All right. As you do that, you get the sense that the Shadow Lords are definitely in Storm Chaser's camp, but the Silver Fangs seem to be more of the opinion that, being heroes as they are, they should be the ones, you know, being seen.
Zeb will kind of do the Midwest goodbye, knee slap and step, stand up. If I might, for a moment, August leaders, speak to Storm Chaser for a moment in private. There was a message that I was keen to bring to him.
Of course.
Turn and walk out.
Storm Chaser stands up, walks with Zeb into the kitchen. Did Zeb partake of the tea?
No.
Okay, perfect. Then you should have some tea, Zebulon. Oh, shit. You react negatively.
Go fuck yourself.
As he goes, fine. You have a message to bring. You have a message to bring to Vancouver, and you must do it. You must tell your packs that it's very important, and it's the truth to everything, but you cannot tell them until you get to Vancouver. What is Zeb's willpower?
Seven.
Seven, thank you. And because of mage bullshit, you feel the compulsion to go to Vancouver to spread the message. You'll go to Vancouver because you have a message. That is what you will tell your friends. You can tell them nothing else except that is important. And I will let you in on a little secret. Oh, and you must walk, and you must not use that little gift of not being able to sleep to make it. Make up excuses, however you must do it. Perhaps it is to be tested. But walk to Vancouver, and once you get to the city, you can tell your friends the truth that I'm going to tell you right here. And he leans in and he whispers to Zeb, and he pulls back. Shall we go have a seat?
Yes.
As you guys walk back into the kitchen, or comrades, back into the meeting room.
Comrades, we have to go. Ill omens, we're on the road. Now, gather your things. There's important business to take care of in Vancouver.
What?
I've just been apprised of it. We have to go now. Gentlemen.
Bye. Kyle will look at Storm Chaser.
It was a message that had to be given to a Silent Strider. I'm sorry, I can say no more.
Rhea, are you sure that we have to leave now?
Unfortunately, I am, brother, and I know you have business that needs to be taken care of here, but we have to go now, and we're taking the long way.
Well, sudden urgency leads me to side with Zeb here.
I think this is rather important, and if we're taking the long way, surely another hour wouldn't harm us.
I really wish I could tell you more, Kyle. It's that
things,
dire.
Things are coming, Kyle. I'm sorry. I have tried to keep things safe from you, but this is deeply important. And you cannot take the fast ways because I fear that they are being watched.
It's okay, Kyle. We can split up. We'll, me and William will go with Zebulon. You guys take care of things here.
You can always catch up. You've got my number.
I mean, if it's something that important, shouldn't we all go?
If the way's being watched, we might need the security. Yeah. I'd really appreciate your help with this, Kyle. And that of your pack.
Garcelorea speaks with sweet whispers, does not normally act like this. I feel we should follow his fervency.
I am well aware. Then let's go.
All right, then.
Zeb is pretty tight-lipped about things. That it's just important. That it's constantly important.
Kyle is absolutely not going to take this, like, quietly. So every decision that gets made, Kyle's going to be like, why? Can we run? Like, can we use, like, your gift to get us there faster? The way's being watched. Us being fast isn't being watched. Like, literally every piece of it is going to be like, why? Can we... if it's important, we should be fast. Like,
so it is February the 11th, as you cross the threshold that says city limits, and Zeb turns to all of you.
Double scream and scream and cry and scream. He's Carson faces the storm.
And we'll see how this all shakes out next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll see you in that next episode. Bye.
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 See you.